up, we're going to miss the tzitzit. Whether one should make a bracha on a borrowed house. What's the halacha on a borrowed house? Can you give me the my kutch in Paris? The source of this halacha is the Gemara in Chulin on Dav Kuf Lamed. The Gemara makes reference to the two parashios of tzitzit that we know of. The pasuk in Parashas Kiseite says, "Yidilu kas lacha." Al arba kanfos kisuscha asher bechasidus. So the lashon of the pasuk is kisuscha, your kisus. Sounds like it's the kisus of the individual. So from that pasuk, we get the impression that the individual's beged is chayav tzitzis, but a talis shel shofar would be ptur from tzitzis. And yet we know that in Parashas Shlach, what we call Parashas tzitzis, the Torah says v'asul lam tzitzis al kanfei bigdeihem. Bigdeihem is a plural. That sounds like the beged that we're talking about is a beged that belongs to more than one person. Like a beged of shutfim is chayev. So what's going on? Is a beged of shutfim, talashal shutfim, chayev or not? So the Gemara in Chulin says that really a beged of shutfim is chayev because the pasuk says bigdeihem. So what does the word susha come to teach me? It comes to teach me that a talashal is ptura from sitz is kol shloshim. The halacha is that it has to be susha in the sense that if it's borrowed, you'll be ptur from wearing sitz, from putting on sitz onto that beged for 30 days. That's what the Gemara in Chulin on Kuf Lamed Vav says. So it seems a little bit strange. It's clear from the Gemara Chulin that there's a distinction to be drawn between Talash Ula as opposed to Talash Al Shutfim. But the distinction that the Gemara draws seems a bit questionable. Talash Al Shutfim, because it says Al Kanfei Bigdeihem, the Gemara says that Talash Al Shutfim is Chayeves. Okay, that's a halacha. Because the Pasuk says Kesuscha, so Talash Ula is Ptura for Shloshim Yom, what kind of a halacha is that? For Shloshim Yom is Ptura, and then it's Chayeves here for Shloshim Yom? So Tosus and Chulin, a little bit earlier, not on that sugi, but Daf Kuf Yud, Tosus and Chulin says, Minat Torah really a talash ula is ptura la'olam. Just like from Big Dam, we learned that a talash al shutfim is chayeves la'olam, it's chayeves from the first minute. So too, from the word suscha, we learn, ethnic suscha, Minat Torah a talash ula is ptura la'olam. But the Rabbanan Chazal wa machmer to say that a talash ula should be chayeves yet the shloshim yom, because it's nireis kishavu. Since it looks like it belongs to this individual, so therefore it's chayeves yet the 30 days. That's the din Rabbanan. Minat Torah, Talash Ula is Pturakol, is Ptur La'olam, just like a Talash Al Shufin is Chayeves La'olam. Talash Al Shufin is Chayeves, and Talash Ula is Ptur. Midrabban, and a Talash Ula is Chayeves after 30 days, because Chazal were afraid people are going to look at this Talas. The person who's been wearing the Talas for the last 30 days, he's got one of those rainbow Talasim, so they know it's his. Right? If not, how do they know it's his? It's the same Talas he's wearing for 30 days. He's wearing the same Talas. They know it has a big name on the back, Konigsberg. So they know it's, why would he put his name on it if it's Shula? The kids, they know it's the same Talas. Sorry? So they'll think after 30 days that it belongs to this person. So that's what Chazal said, that it should, that then it's Chayeves. Is this right? Okay, forget it. I think we should drop the details of the case. I think you get the point. There's a similar idea, actually, when it comes to mezuzah. The halacha is if someone rents an apartment or a house for a week, let's say. Let's say he's renting, some people go on vacation, they rent a house maybe from a non-Jew, in Florida, just to mention of Florida, get excited with this weather. They rent in Florida or some other place, they rent a bungalow for a week or two, some questions will be raised, should they put up mezuzahs in the house? At least for the week or two, they're living there, a Jew is living there, shouldn't they be chayav in mezuzah? The halacha is that if someone rents a house for less than 30 days, there's no chiyuv to put mezuzah on. Someone who's only socher a bayis, there's no chiyuv. The pasuk says beisecha, it has to be your bayis, but if it's only rented, it's not called beisecha, so therefore there's going to be no chiyuv to put up a mezuzah. But once again, Chazal say that if it's 30 days, if you're going to rent it for 30 days, then there is a chiyuv to put a mezuzah on. Why? Because it's nireis kishavu. Same chashash, right? Chazal were afraid that it looks like it belongs to you. So therefore, Chazal said that you should put up a mezuzah on that premises. Of course, this doesn't discuss all the issues of rental. We're not talking about mezuzah over here. But you should just know that those individuals who are planning on renting for more than 30 days, it could be that they're actually chayav from the very beginning. It's only those people who are not going to be renting for more than 30 days, so then there's a question whether they're going to be chayav or potter once the 30 days comes, If they have in mind that they're going to rent for more than 30 days, they might be even chayav uchila. But it's the same basic idea that often we find that Chazal on the chayav a person after 30 days, either for shi'ula or for schura, if it's rented, the mechayav after 30 days because it looks like it belongs to them. This is the basic halacha. In the Torah, hatalash ul is ptura, and the rabbanon is chayeves after 30 days, and hatalash al shulfin is going to be chayeves immediately. Yes, then.
Presumably, borrowed and rented could be the same thing. It's just that houses usually rent out.
For this issue, mezuzah and talis, we're assuming that they're basically the same halacha. They're not exactly the same halacha. We do find that in certain issues, the Gemara will say that schiris is kanya, that if someone rents a house or any other object, maybe there is some kind of a kinyan there, and it might be considered kishalom more than simply shu'ula. But that's beyond our discussion. The Rosh, in his Hilchas Tzitzis, throws a monkey wrench into this discussion. He says the fact that we assume that in Torah Tala Shu'ula is Ptura, and the truth is that the Rabbanan, even Chacham agreed that for the first 3 days is Ptura, that's only if a person borrows a beged. When we think of a Tala Shu'ula, we don't think of borrowing a beged and then putting Tzitzis on it. We assume we're going to borrow a talis, that has Tzitzis on it. But that's really not what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is talking about borrowing the beged, a four-cornered beged. The question is whether you have to put tzitzis on that beged if you borrow it. Interesting. If it's a four-cornered beged, so why would you assume that you should put the tzitzis? What, you should make holes in the beged to put the tzitzis on? That's the discussion in the Gemara. The Rosh says that, let's say I borrow a talis she'ula that is mitsuyatzis, it has tzitzis on it. He says there's no question that it should be chayev, it's chayev and tzitzis, even toch lamed, and you should make a bracha on it, even toch lamed. Even before the 30 days, you should make a bracha on it. Even though from the Gemara the impression you get is that in a Torah Tal Shu'ula is Ptura La'olam and Midrabanan, it's Ptura for the first 30 days, the Rosh says that if you borrow a talis that has tzitzis on it, then it's going to be Chayeves Miyad, you should make a bracha on it Miyad. Simple.
There's already tzitzis on the beged, so even though it's used for, if this guy wears it for this purpose and he has tzitzis on it, gives someone else, so what's the problem?
He's borrowing a beged that has tzitzis on it, so the question is, is this a beged that you'd be chayv to put tzitzis on? And if it is a beged, then you should have to make a bracha on it as well. Let's say a person doesn't have his talis when he comes to shul. He borrows a talis, someone davens hashgama, and then another person comes to the regular minyan. He borrows a talis on the first individual. So at first glance, if it's a talis she'ula, it should be ptura. It's toch lamed yom. You haven't been wearing it for 30 days, it should be ptura. The Rosh says no. The Rosh says that if it's mitsuyatzes, then it's chayeves and tzitzis, even for you, even though you only borrowed this beged. So it's chayeves and tzitzis, and you'll have to make a bracha. And once it's chayeves, so you have to make a bracha, just like any other talis. That's what the Rosh is coming to be chayesh. Why should that be true? Why should we assume that if I borrow a talis that's mitzuyetzes, I'm chayev in the bracha? So the Rosh explains, and this is what the Shulchan Aruch writes, it's in Yudal and Gimel. That's what I asked you to look at in the source 1. The Rosh says that if it's mitzuyetzes, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't actually give the reason. Shalak kashim mitzuyetzes, the last line, mevarach alem yad. The Rosh says because the assumption is that the individual who owns the talis is giving the talis as a what we call a matana manas lahachzir. He's giving a matana to the individual to be yotzei his mitzvah. He's giving a matana to that person that he should be chayev in tzitzis, so he could be yotzei his mitzvah, so he should make a bracha. That's what the Rosh says, that we assume that the person is giving it for matana manas lahachzir, so it's a matana, it belongs to him. What's the whole reason why Talas Shu'ul is Ptura Tov Shloshim Yom? Because it doesn't belong to him, but if he gets it as an Akana Manas Lahatzir, so then it belongs to him, so then he should take a Mega Bracha even Tov Shloshim Yom. This is the Chiddush of the Rosh, which is passing in Shulchan Aruch there in Sif Gimel. That the whole discussion of Talas Shu'ul of Ptura is only if it's not Mitzuyetzes, but if it has Tzitzis on it, Avada, you should be Chayav, because that's the Kavana of the Nosei, that it should be a Matana for the amount of time that the person wears it. So if it's a matana, it belongs to the individual. It's not just she'ula, but it actually belongs to him. The Rosh, actually, at the beginning of Hilchas Tzitzis, at the end of Siman Aleph, he said he saw in Germany that when they would put a talis on for slichus, they would get up before Alos HaShachan, they'd get up early, it was still night. He said he saw that for slichus, they would borrow a talis from someone else. There was a whole suffix bracha. What's the suffix bracha? We know that Laila's Lavzman Tzitzis. So what does that mean, that Laila's Lavzman Tzitzis? There's a Machlokas Rishonim. Some Rishonim hold that means that there's no chiyuv to wear tzitzis at night, no matter what kind of a beged it is. Whether it's a beged I normally wear by day or I normally wear by night, there's no chiyuv to wear tzitzis at night, period. Other Rishonim claim, no, it's a function of the beged. A ksus yom is chayev even by Laila, and a ksus Laila is chayev. Is Ptura even by yom, because it depends what kind of a beged it is. If I have four-cornered pajamas, so these Rishonim would claim even if I sleep by day, I'd be putter from wearing tzitzis. Because it's not so much that the time is goring. It's man grum in the sense that the time is goring, but whatever beged I normally wear at night is putter la'olam in tzitzis. Whatever beged I normally wear by day is going to be chayiv la'olam in tzitzis. That's how the other Rishon. My focus is the Rosh and the Rambam. So if I were to wear a talis, which is normally worn by day, but if I wear it at night, that's a suffik bracha. But according to some Rishonim, because this is a beged yom, it should be chayim and a bracha even if I wear it at night. Other Rishonim would claim, doesn't matter, you're wearing it at night, so you're potter from tzitzis at night. It doesn't matter what type of beged it is. It's interesting, my chloge Rishon. The first thing you would say, Laila Lazman tzitzis should tell me, no matter what I wear, if I wear it at night, it's potter, if I wear it by day, it's chayim. So some Rishonim say that's not the case. Laila Lazman tzitzis tells me that whatever type of beged you have, if it's normally worn by day, then it should be chayim, no matter when you wear it. If it's normally worn at night, it should be potter. So that's the big shaila. Someone puts on a talis at night, let's say the davening slichas, and it's before the day. Should you make a bracha on that talis or not? According to some Rishonim, you're wearing it at night. Potter. According to other Rishonim, you're wearing a talis. The talis is normally worn by day. You don't wear a talisim at night. Normally we wear a talis by day. You wear a talis for shachris. You can wear a talis cotton as well. But a talis is normally worn by day. It's rarely worn at night. Kippur maybe is an exception, though we try to make the bracha by day because of this shayla. So there's a big suffik bracha over here. So the Rosh said that's why people would borrow a talis. They borrow a talis because they assume that a talis sha'ula is p'tura from tzitzis, so there's no shayla. That's what the Rosh says. People, when they put on a talis, the shliach tzibu put on a talis for slichas, not the whole tzibur. The shliach tzibu put on a talis for slichas, and they would be davening before daybreak. Some people do daven slichas then, that is the appropriate time to daven slichas at the tail end of the evening, the last hashmura. So people would borrow a talis, the Rosh claims, because they wanted to avoid the suffik bracha issue. But he says, I don't understand what they accomplish. He writes there at the end of Siman Beis, I don't see what they accomplish, because this is not a talis she'ula. This is a talis she'ula which is mitzuyatzes, it has tzitzis on it. So according to what I just told you, a talis she'ula that's mitzuyatzes should be chayav miyad. So how do they avoid the problem? They haven't obviated anything. Because the fact is that the same shayla, it's the same Sabi Bracha. They wanted to obviate the Sabi Bracha by putting on a beged that Vadai is Ptura from Tzitzis. It's not Vadai Ptura from Tzitzis. If it's from Tzitzis, it's Chayav in Tzitzis. The only Sabi is, what does Laila Lamzman Tzitzis mean? Does that mean that there's no chiyav at night? Does that mean that there's no chiyav by exus laila, even if you wear it by day? That suffix remains. So what did they accomplish, the Rosh claims? This is the Rosh Mishitas. That the Rosh assumes that a talis she'ula, if it's mitzuyat, says it's going to be chiyav miyad.
The question was,
laila
lav tzitzis, how does it apply to beged? Doesn't that mean
stam, laila
not
kachor tzitzis,
regardless of the
beged? Some Rishonim claim it's a function of night, another Rishonim claim it's a function of a beged that's normally worn at night, no matter when it's worn. Well, I have to talk about that. Maybe we'll get to that in some other week. I don't know how much longer we're going to be talking about the Yonik Tzitzis. There's a limit how much time we should spend on Tzitzis. But maybe we'll say one more shiur on that issue. We'll see. I'm not sure. Okay, but that's the Machlokes, the Rosh and the Rambam. How to understand what Laila Lazman Tzitzis means.
If the Rosh is one of the people who were arguing, then why didn't he just tell them his opinion and what to do?
Right, so I think he understood that there was room for debate on that issue. But the fact that they felt they were obviating the whole issue by putting on a talis she'ula, the Rosh says that's ridiculous, because that he thinks everyone should agree with. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't put a cholik on that. So it seems like the Rosh is probably right on that. Yeah.
Can I just make a tanaya?
I'm not giving it to you as a matana. We're going to get to that. That's what the Mishnah Berurah seems to suggest. Not so much that the person should make a tanaya is not giving it as a matana, because, you know, we don't. What the person should tell the individual who's giving him the talis, it's easier for the person who's taking the talis just to have kavanah not to be konan. So the person who's giving it to him can make all the time in the world, I want him to be konan. But if the konan doesn't want to take it, so it's not going to be his. Sin.
So why did he wear a talis for tzibur?
The kavanah tzibur. That's the same idea. The shliach tzibur. Some people have a minig that the shliach tzibur who davens marav wears a talis as well. And some shul the shliach tzibur doesn't wear a talis because of this suffik brocha probably. That's this discussion.
Spartan
at night, though,
when they
say sleeps,
they don't wear talents.
They don't wear talents. I think Ashkenazim for slichas do wear a talis. When it comes to davening mar, there are many places where they don't wear a talis. I think in yeshiva they wear a talis. That's a stira. I guess that's not the first stira.
Wearing a talis for slichas, it's not based on the Gemara, which says
So that's a special reason why she wear a talis for slichas. I think maybe I should. Maybe that's the reason why dafka for slichas were makir. Others are makir to wear a talis in general. How about that sibur? That's mechayev to wear a talis. But it could be for the suffik bracha. It's not that they didn't have a cover for the sibur, but in those communities where they don't wear a talis for mariv, where the shtetiv doesn't wear a talis for mariv, it could be because of the suffik bracha. They don't want to get involved in the problem. A little bit strange, because most shlichei tzibur, even for milcha, they don't make a bracha on the talis. So if they really think that the chayiv and tzitzis, then they should make a bracha on the talis of the tzibur. We're going to get to it. Do you make a bracha on the talis of the kohel? Is it a talis shel shofar? We'll get to it in a moment. Yeah.
But if someone is going in a talis specifically not to be using it to make a bracha, then would you actually need to have any kavanah not to be kavanah? Wouldn't that be better than the...
What do you mean? He's only wearing it for kavanah tzibur and not for the mitzvah.
He's specifically wearing the talis, and would it not to be kavanah? Would it not to be yotze, which...
That's what the Bir Aloha says, that if mitzvah shvirus kavana, so forget about whether he has kavana to be kona or not. Let him have kavana not to be yotze. And if he has kavana not to be yotze, everything is fine. To be somech on that is a little questionable. We assume that mitzvah shvirus kavana by mitzvah daraisa. But not everyone agrees. It's a machlokes rishonim. So, yeah, I mean, if you have kavana hafucha, negative kavana, so there are more rishonim who assume that even if mitzvah ain't shvirus kavana, but with negative kavana, you're certainly not going to be yotze. So that lefar is a good suggestion as well. If you have kavanah not to be yotzei, then you won't have any problem at all. Maybe. Yeah.
The threshold that
tzitzit
doesn't matter. So that either of those tzitzit means that it's a beggar either.
I forget already how it goes. What's the rosh hashi?
It's a
beggar. Okay.
The Rama called that it's a tzitzit.
It's a function of time. Yeah.
So according to him, if the tzitzit regular tzitzit, which is considered a beggar beyond.
Right.
Then even if putting it on before the time,
right.
It should still be on the
time. So that's what someone else said, that the Rosh himself would claim that maybe there is a chiyuv to make a bracha on the talis, but he was aware of the fact that others questioned his psak. So he felt even if the tzibur wanted to be makil, or I should say to be machmir, not to make a bracha because they were afraid, and that's why they wanted to borrow a talis from someone else, they're not accomplishing anything by borrowing a talis from someone else, because it's the same shayla. You might as well just put on your own talis. If you put on your own talis, it's the same suffik bracha. Borrowing a talis from someone else, what's the difference? The talis shu'ul, that's mitzvah, it's like your talis. That's what people were grappling with. They didn't want to put on their own talis. They davened in the shul. They paid dues to the shul. And so their talis was in their locker in the shul. But they avoided wearing their talis because they didn't want to get involved with this problem. So the Rosh felt, what are they avoiding? It's the same shayla as putting on talis or something else. So what's the psak of the Mishnah Berurah regarding this? Let's say you're called to the Torah, they want to give you an aliyah, or you're going up to daven for the Yamud. So what should you do? Let's say you don't have your own talis. If you have your own talis, there's no shayla, right? Make a bracha on your own talis. What's the issue? We're talking by day, not about slichas anymore. And that's the Rosh's issue by slichas, whether borrowing the talis is any better or not better. But let's say by day, if you borrow a talis from someone else, would you be chayav to make a bracha or not? So the Mishnah Berurah actually says that it's not so clear, even though the Rosh Hashita is dutifully noted by the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah says that there are different tzirufin lagel, different things that you can combine to be makil in this case, to say that it's not so clear. What do you mean it's not so clear? He says, first of all, he says it's not so clear that what the Rosh said, that a talis shu'ula that has tzitzis on it is chayav miyad, because the individual who gives it to the mekabel is giving it as a matana manas lahatzir. It is a suffix, Mishnah Berurah says, whether he gives it as a matana manas lahatzir, only if he says explicitly that he's giving it to matana, or even stam, we always assume that it's matana manas lahatzir, or it's only when beferish, when explicitly he said that he's giving it as a matana. That's issue number one. So in many circumstances, you get a toss from someone else, he doesn't say, I'm giving it to you, matana manas lahatzir. That's issue number one. Issue number two, Mishnah Berurah says, who claims that you're chayav to make a bracha on a talis if you only wear it to covet? It's a big issue. You're only wearing it to get an aliyah, you're only wearing it to daven for the yamad. Maybe the anach chayav in tzitzis in such a beged at all. And that's a real question, because there are many Rishonim who seem to assume they give different cases. The Rosh in one place talks about someone who's davening for the Yamad. Other Rishonim, there's a Piskei Tosfos. Piskei Tosfos is a collection of all the Pesachim that come out of Tosfos at the end of every Masechta. So at the end of Masechta Menachos, the Piskei Tosfos talks about what happens if Kohanim go up to Duchen. It's another common case where a Kohen who's not married will borrow a talis from someone else. Not a Sephardi, he's not going to wear his own talis go, so he'll borrow a talis from someone else. Does he make a bracha? So the Piskei Tosfos says, he should make a bracha. Aye, but it's only the cover. You're wearing a talis to cover that zibor. Some people think they're wearing a talis to cover the hands. Okay, it's certainly useful to cover the hands. That's not the real reason why you're wearing a talis. You're wearing a talis if you're doing some kind of mitzvah for the tzibur. The Birchas Kohanim, the Sias Kapayim is a mitzvah for the tzibur. It's like getting an aliyah. It's like davening for the Amud. So if it's for Kavadat Tzibur, there's an Inyan to wear a talis for Kavadat Tzibur. So should you make a bracha? The Piskei Tosfos says you should. Quoted from the Piskei Tosfos, because apparently it's not so obvious the Tosfos held that way. The one who, I think the Tur, the son of the Rush, wrote the Piskei Tosfos. He collected all the Pesachim from Tosfos. So every so often you'll find a Piskei Tosfos that's not in Tosfos itself, but he just added it. He added a point. So it's quoted from the Piskei Tosfos. No reason to quote from the Piskei Tosfos, it's in Tosfos itself. So this is a real shayla. Some Rishonim hold that even if you wear a talis l'kavadat zibur, you should make a bracha. The Mishnah Berurah says it's a suffek. The Achronim are not so clear about it. He quotes a Shari Ephraim. Spends a lot of time in the Bir Halacha with the Shari Ephraim, who seems to claim that if you wear a talis not l'tzorech mitzvah but l'tzorech kavadat zibur, maybe you shouldn't wear a bracha. You shouldn't make a bracha. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't know what to do here. He says if you borrow a talis by day from someone, first of all, we don't know if he's giving it as a matana, unless he says the farish that he's doing so. And secondly, if you don't know if you're only wearing it lakava to get an aliyah or to daven for the yamud, maybe you're not chayav to wear, to put siddur on such a beged anyway. Maybe it's not chayav. So he says, lemaskana, he quotes from the siddur derech hachayim, written by whom? The Nesivis. The Nesivis wrote a lot of sparim, we said, right? So this is also, he wrote a siddur. He didn't write the siddur, but he wrote halachas on the siddur. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the derech hachayim siddur of the Nesivis. But the best thing to do in these circumstances is to have kavana not to be kona. So if you have kavana not to be kona, then there's not much of a shayla. The talis doesn't belong to you unless you have kavana to be kona. It doesn't matter that he wants to give it matana, but if you don't have kavana to be kona, it's not going to be yours. If you don't have kavana to be kona, then you won't acquire the talis, and then you won't be chayim to make a bracha. There won't be any shayla with the bracha. That's what the Mishnah Berurah suggests, that if you... And he probably would say the same thing for the Rosh. If you're davening for the Yamat Slichas, so what's the best thing to do? The Rosh wasn't considering this option. The Rosh was saying, if you just borrow the talis from the other individual and you have no explicit kavana, then you might have a problem. Because if he gives it to you matana, then maybe you're taka kona. It's a talis mitzuyetzes. So if you're kona, then you might have a problem. But according to what the Mishnah Berurah concludes, maybe the simple solution to the problem is to have kavana not to be kona. If you have kavana not to acquire the talis, then there won't be any problem of suffik bracha. That's probably the best thing to do, just to borrow a talis from someone else and have the kavana not to be kona. So then there's no shayla, because even if he has a stam kavana to give it to you as a matana, it's not going to work anyway, so then there won't be any issue.
If you put on a talis for like mincha, laning on Shabbos or during some fast...
This is the same idea.
But if you put on your own talis... Like you're not
your own talis, you would make a bracha, no question. Absolutely. You're putting it in the afternoon. There's definitely a hefsek from the time that you wore it in the morning, so you would make a bracha by mincha. If you put on a talis of someone else, so then if you have kavana not to make, if you have kavana not to acquire it, then you want to make a bracha. If you put on a talis of the kohol, a shul talis, a different shah will get
there. What about like if you like one of your brothers or your father's, like is that not considered yours or like?
It's not considered yours. That's a talis of someone else. Just because it's a member of your family doesn't make it yours. Right? The fact that they don't allow you to borrow their computer, so that proves that what belongs to them is not yours. They won't give you their coat, and they're certainly not going to give you their baseball glove. So lahavdil, then you can assume that they're not giving you the tzitzis unless they have kavanah to give it to you. It's their talis. So if you have kavanah to be kona, it's not your talis. You wouldn't have to make a bracha.
Why does the kavanah matter by the kinyan? You're saying like your kavanah not to be kona, but you're still doing a ma'aseh kinyan.
Now, but a Maisa Kinyan always requires Das to become it. There are two elements to a Kinyan. You need a Maisa Kinyan, Shicha, Habibah, Kesef, Shari, we're talking about Chazaka. You also have to have Das. Now, there's an assumption, if you do a Maisa Kinyan, normally the assumption is that you have Kabbalah to become it. What's the Maisa Kinyan when it comes to a Talis? Hagbah, right? Hagbah. But if I do Hagbah with a Kavanah Hafuch, with negative Kavanah, having in mind that I don't want to be Kohanah, so then I don't have Das.
Is the Kavanah to be a Shoah, or is it to, they just taking
this Talis? No, Kavanah to be Kohanah. When you're taking the Talis, you would have to have Kavanah to be Kohanah in order for the Talis to become yours. You don't have Kavanah to be Kohanah. So if you have Stam Kavanah, meaning you don't have any explicit Kavanah, so it could be that the Kavanah of the Makna might be enough. Because the principle that Gemara has in different places, that Das Acheres Makna, so. That sometimes a das acheres, someone else's knowledge is enough to be marked to me and it's mine. So if I have stam kavanah, that might be a problem. But if I have negative kavanah, then I can block his kavanah from working. So even though he has kavanah to give it to me, but I don't want it. So if I don't want it, it doesn't become mine.
So what are you doing? Like, what is that?
I'm wearing the talis. I'm wearing the talis, but it's not mine. I'm wearing your talis. Shula. So wearing your talis, the talis shula, I'm not chayav to make a bro. Okay? What kind of talis are they wearing? Talis of a seaboard?
Let's say belonging to a friend, or something, let's say a married friend. So when they go, they don't have das of being told in this thing on the contrary. They have das of their, they can't borrow it from a friend, so they don't have das of their friend.
They don't have absolute kavanah that they're not being called at. There's a question, because that's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. It could be that that other individual wants the person to be called at Lisho. Wants it to be called for the moment that he's wearing it.
That's
what the Rosh is saying.
That's
what the Rosh is saying. That's the das of the individual that he should give it to matana to the other individual. Al manas lahavzir on condition that he gives it back afterwards. That's what the Rosh is assuming. You see, you're saying most people don't even have that kind of kavanah. But that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Maybe that kavanah works even b'stam, even if he doesn't have that kavanah explicitly. Because basically, when a person gives a talis to someone else, what's he doing? He wants the person to be able to wear the talis kedas u'kedin. So if the only way that he can wear it properly, kedas u'kedin, is by acquiring it, so that individual says, the person who's giving it to him says, or thinks, even if he doesn't say it, his stam understanding is that the other individual should actually be wearing it. Okay? But that's as far as talis of someone else. How about a talis of the kol? Talis of the tzibur very often happens. Can we just move on?
I have a question on that.
A talis of the tzibur?
Yeah,
so let me talk first, and then we'll get you cash. So talis of the tzibur. What's the halacha about the talis of the tzibur? So the Mishnah Berurah, actually more the Bir Halacha, Shalah, they're still on page 1. It quotes two reasons why a talis of the tzibur is chayiv and tzitzis, and you don't have to make a bracha. What's the simple reason why the talis of the tzibur should be chayiv and tzitzis? What kind of talis is that? Talis shel?
Shufan.
Shufan. Talis shel shufan. L'chor, it's another portion of the talis of the tzibur. One should have to make a bracha. This is in fact what the Mordechai, Mordechai says the reason why a talis shel kol is chayav in tzitzis is because it's a talis shel shufan. What's a shayla? It's obvious. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Derech HaChayim, from the Nesivis, he quotes another reason. The Sefer Derech HaChayim says, you know why talis shel kol is chayav in tzitzis and it's chayav in a bracha? That's because Mestama, when the Kohen bought the talis, they bought it adayda dahachi, with the understanding that anyone who picks up the talis should be able to make a brach on it. It should belong to any individual who picks it up. There are many people who come through the shul, and some people forget the talis at home. So the tzibur has kavana to be makna this talis to anyone who picks it up. So one of the things the Mishnah Berurah does, the beginning of the Mishnah Berurah there in the Bir Halacha, he questions, why does the Derech HaChaim have to be Mechadesh a new reason? The Mordechai already told us in Talis Shel Shufan, you don't need the Derech HaChaim's reason. It's a little strange. But he has to think up this reason that the Tzibur has in mind that anyone who picks up the Talis should be calling the Talis. What kind of an idea is that? So the simple answer is the reason of the Mordechai only helps if you're a member of the shul. Or if you pay dues to the shul. Forget about if you're a member. Many people are members, but they're not dues-paying members. You're not a dues-paying member. You're not a shufan. The other reason will help you even if you're a guest in the shul. If you borrow a talis from the shul, this can happen. A person is a guest by someone else. Normally he leaves his talis in shul, in his locker or by his place. But if he's a guest, sometimes not only does he forget to bring it to shul, But if he gets to bring it to the house, he doesn't pack his talis. It can happen. So what do people do? They come to shul and they go over to the gabbai and they say, "Do you have an extra talis?" So does that person make a bracha on that talis? According to the Mordechai, there's no reason to make a bracha. It doesn't belong to him. But according to the Derech HaChaim Siddur, he would have to make a bracha, because what the Derech HaChaim is telling us is that that's what the tzibur had in mind, that anyone who picks up the talis should be koneh that talis, it should belong to him, so he should be able to make a bracha. So these are the two reasons that the Mishnah Berura quotes. First from the Derech HaChaim, and then from the Mordechai. So it seems like you should be chayiv. Wow. Do we find people making a bracha in talis shel koneh? What happens? The person is called for an aliyah. Mincha time on Shabbos. Some people have some shuls have a minute to make a bracha, to wear a talis for an aliyah mincha time. Well, let's say a person is asked to be a shliach tzibur. Does he make a bracha on the talis? I think the meaning is not to make a bracha on the talis shel koneh. Seems very questionable, because certainly if a person is a dues-paying member of the shul, you have the reason of the Mordechai, it seems like a double question that you should make a bracha on the talis shel shudfin. The Mishnah Berurah works very hard trying to figure out why you shouldn't make a bracha. He quotes from the Shari Ephraim, says maybe what the people are mako for is that they assume that if you're wearing a talis only letzarech kavod, the kavod at tzibur, it's not for you to make a bracha on that talis b'klal. It's really the only thing to rely on. But the Shari Ephraim says you wear it lekavod, so then there's no reason to make a bracha. But that's highly questionable. That's really the only thing to be sumich on. You can't have kavana not to be koneh. You know, what the Mishnah Berurah suggested about borrowing someone else's talis, you should have in mind not to be koneh. If you have in mind not to be koneh, everything is fine. That's good by someone else's talis. But a talis shel shudfin, if I take dues to the shul, it belongs to me. I can't put on my own talis and say I have in mind not to be koneh because I have a suffix brocha. It's ridiculous. You can't say you don't have kavana to be koneh in your own talis. Talis shel shudfin is the same way. It belongs to all the shudfin. So how are you going to have kavana not to be koneh? The only reason to say that you're not chayav to make a bracha on that talis is because perhaps we assume that if you wear it only for kavanat zibur, there's no chayav to make a bracha on that. There's no chayav in tzitzis at all. It's not a levisha hachayav for tzitzis. It's not a levisha chashuva, if you will. Right? It's not a choshuva levisha. That's a, you know, you're just wearing it lekavan. That's the only thing to be sameich on. It seems to be that's what the tzibur is sameich on. It's a strange idea. I saw a lot of the Likud Sfarim on Hilchos Tzitzis try to figure out how this minhag developed that when someone borrows a shul talis, they don't make a bracha for it. It's a little bit strange. Danny pointed out that the minhag in the Broyers community is when they borrow a talis and they use a talis of the tzibur, they wear the talis a little bit longer than for the actual time. Like if someone gets an aliyah or someone lanes through the Torah, to wear the talis until after Kiddusha. Say a person lanes Mincha on Shabbos. So they'll dab in the Silent Shemona Esrei, right? And then until after Kiddusha, they keep wearing the talis and then they take the talis off. Why? So one of the points that the Biur Halacha mentions is some suggest that if you only wear a talis just for the amount of time that you get an aliyah or you lane, so then maybe there's no need to make a bracha. So that's dafka why, I think in the Berurah community, they will make a bracha on the talis and they'll wear it longer. So that the tackle wearing the talis to be yosei a mitzvah of tzitzis. Then it turns out they're not just wearing it for the aliyah, not just wearing it to lane from the Torah. So then they really make a bracha on the tzitzis kedasu kedin, because they're not just wearing it lekavod. The minhag in other places only to wear it lekavod, only to wear it for the time of the aliyah, and then they take it off and they give it to the next oleh. So many have a minhag not to make a bracha on the talis shel koneh, but it's a questionable minhag. It's not so clear. I think some people in the main base manager are very medaktic to make a bracha on the talis, even if they just get an aliyah. The chora, part of the reason is people are afraid of tzibura. You know, if you're a kohen, if you're the first ole, then you know that you're going to get an aliyah, so you can make the bracha and do the proper atifa before anyone even notices. But if you're a levi, you're called for levi, and even if you realize that you're going to be called for levi, you're sitting in the back of the base marriage, they call you for levi, and you didn't even hear them, and then someone says, hey, it's you. So you run up. So what? You're going to run up and then take the talis and then do a massive atifa, everyone's looking at you. You know, so I think people just feel embarrassed to do it, so people just stop making brachas. But the chora, if you are a dues-paying member of the tzibur, it's really highly questionable not to make a bracha. you should have kavana to be the time of mitzvah peace. Is there a way to make a bracha? Some are megal for the Sharia friend that the Bira Lacha quotes, that if you're wearing it l'kavod, if you're not wearing it l'tzarach mitzvah, so maybe there's no case to make a bracha. So the proper meaning is probably to make a bracha on the Tala Shalom. But for those who have a meaning not to, I'm not going to say that it's an improper meaning, but they're probably megal for this day in the afternoon. And if you only work in l'tzarach kavodat zibor, maybe there's no case.
Two things. First of all, it's interesting because I was once davening mincha on 101 on the first day, and Rosenzweig got an aliyah, and then he was wearing the tassel the rest of the davening during while he's davening private from his own shrun esser and aliyah.
Did he make a bracha on it?
I'm assuming, yeah. The second thing is there a distinction between a kahal, like where you live in a community as an adult or whatever, and being part of yeshiva? Because when you're part of yeshiva, you live here, you live in the dorms. Or be the same thing would apply, that's considered.
I would say living in the dormitory makes you a member of the tzibur. You are a dues-paying member of the yeshiva, and you certainly pay enough in tuition. So I'm sure for the small amount of money that SOY spends for the talisim, I'm sure we're part of that tzibur.
Right.
So I would imagine it's the same as being part of whatever tzibur you live in your front, right? Your parents live in a particular tzibur. So they're dues-paying members of that tzibur. So then the talis shel shulchan, they are one of those shulchan in that tzibur. So I would imagine people in the base medrash or in any of the other minyanim, I don't see why the main base medrash should be any different than morg or I don't know where else they have the shank shul. It's the same yeshiva. It's one yeshiva. They keep on trying to unite us in some way. So regarding this, we are united because we're all one group of shulchan. So I would imagine the same halacha should apply.
Seems the Sharia Farm just seems like a Svar Ba'alman that because it's not being worn for a long time and because it's only Derek Kavum, it's not Chayav in consensus. But is there anything else to
mention? No, the Bir Alocha himself says the Sharia Farm is not Somech only on that Shita. Even though the Bir Alocha quotes later on, the Ber Hated, one of the latest Yimana quotes from the Sefer Lechem Chavudos, a parish on the bottom of the Rush. It's not called Lechem Chamudos, but it's called Divrei Chamudos. For some reason, the posts will call it Lechem Chamudos. I'm not sure why. I guess that's the original name that it had. Anyway, so he quotes the same basic idea, that if you wear it L'kava, there's no Chiyah Bracha. But others have pointed out that the Sharia Farm, the way the Bir Alocha quotes it, is not Megel for this Svara alone. He also says that if you're not Misatef in the Talis, you might not have a Chiyah Bracha. So he's assuming that most people just put the Talis on. So if you just put the Talis on, we said according to the Chazon Ish and according to others, you will be Chayav. That is Atifa. Because Asher B'Chasava means whatever normal way you cover yourself in that Talis. The Sharia Fram is assuming that without Atifa, there might not be a Chiyah, so he puts two and two together. So it's not.
Other svar is difficult. I mean, for this beged, the way it functions as a ksud is that you wear it for a short amount of time and it's a derech kavod. So why?
It's not true. Is that really true? The talis of a tzibur is not only made for people who are going to be davening for the amud. I think a talis for a tzibur is made for those individuals who don't have a talis, who come to shul, who don't have a talis, who need a talis for the tefillah. I think that's the primary goal of a talis shel shulchan. No, of Talis Shel Tzibur. It's for those people who are coming, not for the minutes that they're going to wear it, for this or for that, or whatever. We think, because we give so many kibudim for people to open up the aron, and for this and for that, but if you look around on a Shabbos morning, you think you're giving out your talis to so many people? I don't think so.
It's only for their accommodation, not this at all, according to what the Sharia family is saying. Someone putting it on doesn't make a problem, that's not chai tzitzis, then why does it have
tzitzis? But the answer is that this talis, we assume, is going to be used for other purposes, not only in derech kavod. So that's why they actually put the tzitzis on. Yes, Ari.
Two questions. If you're not a due-paying member of the shul, but your parents are,
right,
does that do the same thing apply?
I think so, because you're nidgar after your parents, you're dragged after your parents.
You say if you borrow like your parents or your father's talis, then it's not the same.
No, so borrowing your father's talis, he's saying if you're samach al shulchan avicha, if you're still being supported by your father, if he's paying tuition and he's supporting you, so I think if you borrow your father's talis, it's different than borrowing your brother's talis. Because borrowing your father's talis, you and your father are one and the same. I don't think that you necessarily say that you're a different owner. Say it belongs to you. What would happen in terms of a lulav and eser? Would that be called lachem? I think when it comes to lulav and eser, people are makta that you should own your own lulav. That'd be true by talent. The father has to give you his talent. I think it's different. I think it's different because it could be that maybe the father wants to give you his talus. Maybe he really should have to be makin the talus to you. When it comes to the talus of the tzibur, that's a question of who are the shutfim of the tzibur. So it could be that the person who pays the dues, who's being zocha on your behalf, when your father pays the dues, he's paying for his whole family. Right? The shul represents it, and so the father is paying for the family. So you become a shutfim of the shul also because you're part of the family. It's a little different than if you're borrowing your father's house. Maybe, Tag, if you borrow your father's house, he would have to be makna it to you. Yeah, and secondly?
And the other thing, so what about Tircha Letzibura? Like you were saying, is that maybe could be a reason why you wouldn't say Bracha?
Tircha Letzibura is certainly an issue, but I didn't see the post him saying that Tircha Letzibura is enough of an issue just to pata you to give you a clean tour. Maybe we should educate the tzibur not to be so annoyed when people spend another 2 minutes of their time. I don't know. It's a difficult shayla. Moshe.
Two quick things. One, so I never thought that I've seen people also wear the talus through, especially on Shabbos Mincha, they wear it through Kedusha. I've never seen anyone make a bracha on the talus. I've never seen.
And yes, so they make the bracha.
Also, in like Riverdale, I know they do it, and I've never seen anyone make a bracha on the talus. So I'm not sure.
I would say that's more of a shayla. That's
right.
Worse. In other words, if you're not going to make a bracha, so don't wear it for the Shmona Esrei. Just
right.
Put it on for the Aliyah, and that's it.
And then also, what about the Be'er Halacha's point about that, the Shavu'ot Prutah point, where he says that...
Right, that's the other answer he gives. He says that the Mordechai will not help you if you don't get a shul. If you live in a big shul, not a small shul. There's some shuls that have, I don't know, 700 members and something.
Belzer shul.
Whatever. So if you have a big shul, maybe people are not going to get a Shavu'ot Prutah. So Talas Shal Shofar, but you don't have a Shavu'ot Prutah, so there's no Kenyan, so you wouldn't make a bracha net. So maybe that's why you need the other reason to say that the Tzibur really doesn't, it's not that everyone owns it, but Tzibur says whoever picks up the Talas to be Yotze with, he's going to own the whole thing. So then you definitely have a Shavu'ot Prutah.
Okay.
Yeah. Back.
So we're asking a question that asked nowadays, but back then, did they pay dues?
Back in the day. I don't know. I didn't live back then. I think so. Yeah, I think they paid dues. Yeah, dues is an old thing, you know, since the creation of man, people have been paying dues.
They weren't.
It's a little strange. Right, it's a little strange for the Mordechai to say Talas Shal Shofar. At least from the time of the Mordechai, they were paying dues. Simcha, and then I think we should go right there, because we're having to finish it.
A couple quick things.
Okay.
Friday night davening, I've never seen anyone make a bracha when they go in. It's usually after Shpia. I've never seen it.
Right. That's why, if you look around, it seems like the minigans, if you wear the talus only for cover, they don't make a bracha. That's what it sounds like, yeah.
And what happens if, you know, it happens to me a lot, that in the Sukkot and Zimra, you know, a guy will throw a talus at me, as you know, like the thing, you know, Dam Shachar, Son Shachar, something like that. So, in the Sukkot and Zimra, and then he tells the Dam Shachar, is my, you know, make a bracha in the Sukkot and Zimra, or not?
The answer is no.
$30.
If anything, if you make a bracha, you make it after you shtabach before baruch, before kaddish. But yeah, I wouldn't do that. That really would throw people. That really would throw people.
So you probably shouldn't make a bracha.
I guess at that point you probably shouldn't make a bracha. You should rely on the fact that.
Can't you put the balls on like the garage poles, so it's not only in that situation?
But you can't make a bracha or not. Because the garage. You'd be chayav to make a bracha. Still a suffix bracha. I don't know. It's an issue. It's definitely an issue. I think the simple understanding is that if you put on a shul talis, I think the minig is not to make a bracha. If you put on a shul talis only for kavod, if to get an aliyah, or to daven for the yamud, or to lane, etc. The only time that you would make a bracha if you borrow a shul talis is if you forgot your talis at home. So then you're wearing the talis letzorach mitzvah, because we wear a talis mitzvah for davening. You're wearing it for all the davening. That's the same mitzvah everyone else is doing. So then, if you're a dues paying member of the shul, you can make a bracha. And the emes is even if you don't, even if you're not a dues paying member, the assumption is that the tzibur is going to be marked in the talis to anyone who needs the talis in order to be able to do this. So the start, if you're wearing it for the mitzvah, if you wear it for the whole davening, then you could make a bracha on the talis. Question on that.
Wasn't the Be'er Halacha mentioned that it could be that if you don't actually do an atzifa, then
but if you wear it for davening, you will do an atzifa.
Why? I mean, if I just put it over my shoulder, I'm actually going to go over my head. And
but you wanted the yotzei mitzvah. No, if I forgot my talis at home, so I wanted the yotzei mitzvah. Right, so if I don't do an atifa and it's only for covered, so that right, so if I'm not married and I'm not going to put it over my head,
it's not my akum
anyway,
it's okay.
So then you probably, it would be even better because you have both aspects of the sharia frame to rely on. Okay, let's go find them. Okay, can we talk about it later because we're really not going to get it. What is the length of the tzitzios? How long do the tzitzios have to be? This sharia actually splits into two. What is the proper length of the tzitzios to begin with? And let's say the tzitzios get ripped, what is the proper length that still maintains the kashrus of the beggar? That's what we call gardumin, a fancy Aramaic word that just means leftovers from the mitzvah. If you have a leftover from the mitzvah, so how much has to be left over in order to be kashrus? So the Gemara Menachas and Nachlam HaTesim tells a story that there were some Amoroim who were walking in the street, and they saw that some individual was wearing a talis, and his tzitzis were made in such a way that they were entirely wrapped up. There was no free-flowing string. Right? We know that our tzitzios have two parts. There's what we call the gidil. Gidil means the wrapped-up area. And then we have what they call psil. Anaf, sometimes the Gemara calls it anaf. Anaf is the free-flowing area, the psil, free-flowing string. Gidil is the wrapped-up area. So this individual was kulo gidil. The entire tzitzis was kulo gidil. So one of the Amoraim said, beautiful. And the other Amoraim said he has a very beautiful garment, but his cheles, meaning his tzitzis, is not so beautiful. So the Gemara says, the machlokas, these two Amoraim are disagreeing as to whether you need both gedil and psil, or maybe you only need one or the other. Why? Because on the one hand, the pasuk says gedil and tassel upon, he uses a lashon gedil. On the other hand, the pasuk says, nasmal tzitzis upon psil cheles. It says psil. Psil sounds like it has to be free-flowing. So what's it supposed to be? So one of the Amoraim says, ozeh, either gedil or psil, just like we had before. Atzeres l'shem elokecha, atzeres tia lochem. But some say, okula l'shem, okula lochem. One or the other. So the other Amoraim says, no, the purpose of the psukim is to teach me that really you need both. You need psil as well. You must have psil. All right, so why does it say gedil? Why does it say gedilim? The Gemara says gedilim is only to teach you the number of strings. It says gedil ishtayim, and gedilim means arbus. You're supposed to have four strings. So it's a machlokas amaron whether you absolutely need psil, or no, it's enough to have either gedil or psil. So we pass, we're just supposed to have both. That's how we pass. Then the Gemara Menachas earlier on the Lamites Samad Aleph talks about how much you're supposed to wrap. So the Gemara has one lashon that says afilu lo karach ba lechulia achas ksheira. Even if you only wrap one chulia. One chulia. What does one chulia mean? The Gemara says minimally it means three wrappings, three times going around the string. That's the minimum chulia. So even if there's only one chulia, it's enough. But noi tcheles is that the gedil should be one third of the whole string. You should have two thirds of what we call psil or anaf, and one third gedil. So that's what the Gemara says. The minimum is to wrap three times around. But the proper thing to do is to have one third gedil and two thirds psil. One third gedil. How much am I? So what kind of wrapping am I going to do? So that's what the Gemara says. L'chadchilo, what you should do is you should not wrap less than seven for any one chulia, and you should not have more than 13 for any one chulia, which is exactly what we do. We do both. We have seven. Ashkenazim. We have seven, 8, 11, 13. And we have four different chulias. So we do all the different minhagim. Look, there are different minhagim. Some have alpi kabbalah. They do a shem havaya. There are different minhagim. The actual minhagim of the chulia is not ma'akid. As long as a person has a kesher elyon, which really means sort of a kesher tachta. Meaning you have to have a double, not a kesher, and have a kesher on the bottom. And then you have to have a minimum of one chulia. The minimum chulia is three times around. Even though the Gemara says lechatchila you're supposed to do seven, that means lechatchila mitzvah ben amuchi is supposed to do at least seven. But b'di'evet you could be also even with three. And then if you put a kesher on the other side, you gotta hold those three krichos in there. Put a kesher on the other side, and that's it. What's this nogea lemaisa? What, to have only three? No one has only three. Mishnah Berurah actually writes that this is nogea lemaisa erev Shabbos. If you don't have enough time to finish tzitzit, sometimes in camp. In camp, they buy a new pair of tzitzis, and they had in mind to do the tzitzis, but they got involved in a basketball game. And then they take a shower, and then they realize, I don't have tzitzis, and I have to make tzitzis, what am I going to do? So, Mishnah Berurah writes, the minimum is to have a chulia of three. So as long as you have a kesher, agave kesher, then you have your three, and then you put another kesher, agave kesher after that. You can be yotzei for Shabbos, that's enough for Shabbos. So important to keep in mind. The person doesn't have a pair of tzitzit, but the Evan, he could be yotzi with the three. L'chadchila, which is what we do, you should have a third gedil and two-thirds psil, two-thirds anaf. What's the length of the string? What's the length of the string? So that's another machlokas. The Gemara Menachas and the Malach and the Beis quotes a number of the disputes between Beishama and Beis Hillel. First of all, how many strings? We all think the number of strings you're supposed to have in tzitzis is what? How many strings? Four doubled over into eight. But four strings. Beis Shammai says three. Most people don't know. Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai is the ones who say four. Beis Hillel say three. Fascinating. Beis Hillel say three. We don't pass it like this. Beis Shammai says four, so we have four strings. And how long are the strings supposed to be? Beis Shammai says, Dalet Godol. What is Godolin? Thumbs. The thumb is a thumb width. Right? The thumb is a little bit thicker than the rest of the fingers. So Dalet Godol. There are Dalet Godolim and a Tefach. Right? Ramosha would say that the Tefach is 3.6. How much is a Godel? 0.9. In higher value. Right? Well, it's a little less than an inch. So Dalet Godolim would mean a Tefach, would mean 3.6 inches. That's how long the strings are supposed to be. Just 1 second. That's how long the string has to be. 3.6 inches. Not so clear. Rabbi Tam and Rashi have a machlokas whether that's talking only about the gedil, or is that talking about the whole length? Rashi says it's talking about the whole length. That it doesn't have to be more than 3.6 inches. Dalet Godolim. Rabbi Tam says no. Dalet Godolim means the gedil, but in total it's supposed to be Yud Beis Godolim, because the psil is supposed to be two times the gedil. It's supposed to have 1/3 gedil. 2/3 anach. So if you work out the math, it turns out you have dalet godolim of the deal and 8 godolim of psil. So in total, you're supposed to have yud beis godolim. This is what the Shulchan Aruch says. Yirei Shemayim should be machmir for this shita that the shir lechatchila for tzitzis is yud beis godolim, which is 3 tfachim. So it comes out to what?
10.8
is like 11 inches. 12 is about a foot long. You think it should be at most in total, it should be about a foot long. Okay, that's how it works out. Okay. What's the halacha of gardumim? Let's talk about gardumim a little bit. So that's a gemara as well. Gemara Menachas and Lamed Chesam Beis says Amri b'nei Reb Chiya, the sons of Reb Chiya, the Amora, says gardumei tcheles ksherim. Gardumei tcheles, the leftovers of tcheles are going to be kosher. Meaning, even if you only have the shear of Yud Beis Godolim, ripped. It happens that the strings rip. It happens often. So Reb Chiya's son said, "Gadum etchilas hakosher." How much is going to be kosher? What if it rips completely? It's still going to be kosher. So the Gemara says, "Amar Shmuel kadeila anivan." What's the shear of gadum and kadeila anivan? What we call kadei anivan. It has to be enough to tie a bow. Tie a bow on what? So the Gemara actually has a suffix. The question is whether it has to be long enough that you can tie a bow with all of the strings together, or does it have to be enough that you can tie a bow with that one string? With all the strings, you probably need more left over, because it's a bigger wad. That's the suffix in the Gemara, they leave it b'teku, but that's the basic shear. If what's left over, the tzitzis is b'chnei aniva, it's enough to tie a bow, so then it's called gardumen, and that's going to be kosher. This is in fact what the Shulchan Aruch passes. What is the shear of kidei aniva? How big does that have to be? So the Shulchan Aruch says it's Beis Godolim. Beis Godolim, it's about 2 inches. About 2 inches. What a strange idea. That L'chadchila, the tzitzis is supposed to be a shear of Yud Beis Godolim to begin with, but if you have Beis Godolim left over, if that's a shear of Kedei Aniva, the Dievet is still going to be kosher. What kind of a strange idea is that? If the shear is Yud Beis Godolim, so if it rips, it should be possible. How can I say that it's still kosher if it rips? What kind of a strange notion is that? So Achronim give different reasons for why Gardumin is going to be kosher. Gardumin is a special law, doesn't apply in Kala Torah Kula. In tzitzis it applies, in the Ezov of the Paraduma it applies. There are certain halachos where Gardumin applies. This kind of shear that if you have a leftover, a smaller shear than the shear l'chatchila, that's still enough. So what kind of a halach is that? So the Sefer Levush Malchus, one of the Gedolei Achronim that's quoted by the Mishnah Berura on many occasions and by the other Nosei Kehillah in the Shulchan Aruch, he writes that the reason why there's a concept of gadumin when it comes to tzitzis is because Yud Beis Godolim in general is not a shir d'orais. What's the shir d'orais of tzitzis? We said the Gemara claims that according to Beis Shammai, it has got to be Dalet Godolim. Beis Hillel says Gimel Godolim. Where does that shir come from? Halacha Moshe Sinai? That's part of the Halacha Moshe Sinai of shirim? sorry?
I'm sorry. If we say that it's a deraita, will this be a raya for the rishonim?
We haven't said anything yet. So the Lavush says that the shir Yud Beis Gadolim is not a shir deraita. He holds that it's a shir derabanan. It's a lachachila. The chazal is to do. What's the shir deraita? It's kedei aniva. So if it's kedei aniva, then we understand why gaidum and b'di'evet are going to be kosher with kedei aniva, because min ha'tara, that's the shir for tzitzis. This Lavush is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. In Simon Yud Aleph, in Sif Dal, this is on page 4. Dira Locha, Dibra Maskel, Ein Pachos. He says, I am the Lepush, a Kasa, the Minatara, and Shila, Orecha, Tzitzis, Rak Shehir, Bok, and Dil, Vana, Rak Shechazal, Nosu, Lo Shir, Mishim, Noi, Tzitzis, Lamar, Ba, Arba, Ulamar, Yud Beis. The Lepush says that the Shir of Yud Beis Godolim is not a Shir Darais, it's a Shir Darabonah. It's only a shir derabanan that we can understand why gardum is going to be kosher, because me'ikar adin, the shir is enough to have gichdei aniva. It's enough just to have yud beis gadol. The Aruch HaShulchan offers a different pshat. The Aruch HaShulchan has a very beautiful interpretation here. He suggests maybe gardumin makes sense, even if we say that the shir of yud beis gadol is shir deraisa. Even if the original shear of Yud Beis Gadolim is a shear of the rice, and nevertheless, the shear of Gardum, it still makes sense. How? But if the shear of Tzitzis Min HaTorah has to be Yud Beis Gadolim, so they're rich, it should be possible. So he says, no, we find when it comes to Tzitzis, that there are some halacha, some shiurim that are said b'shas asiyah. V'asu lohem Tzitzis, the pasuk says. So in different places, the Gemara says that some shiurim only apply b'shas asiyah. L'mosh. There's a halacha where the tzitzis is supposed to be on the kanaf, on the corner. The hole, where's the hole supposed to be? The halacha, based on the Gemara Menachos, but I guess look at the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says it has to be no more than Gimel Godolim. The question whether it's Gimel Etzbos or Gimel Godolim, let's just say Gimel Godolim. Gimel Godolim from the edge of the beged shouldn't be more than Gimel Godolim from the edge of the beged. I don't know why they make tzitzios where it's exactly Gimel Godolim. It's like just at the point. They should make it a little bit closer. It should be more than Gimel Godolim. Why? Because what does the pasuk say? Al-Kanaf. What does it say? Baslam Tzitzis. Al-Kanfe Bigdayim. So from that we know it has to be Al-Kanaf and not Al-Abegim. It has to be on the corner. If you make a hole over here, that's not on the Kanaf, that's on the Begim. So it can't be more than 3 Godolim away from the edge of the Begim. But it's not supposed to be too close to the edge of the beged either, because that would not be called ala kanaf, that would be called tachas ha-kanaf. That's below the kanaf, apparently. Okay? What's that shear? That's the shear from the knuckle of the godel until the end of the nail, where the nail meets the skin. I'm not sure exactly why the shear is given that way. Apparently it's more than one godel. It's more than one godel, but it's apparently less than 2 godel, somewhere around there. So this shear. So it shouldn't be lower than this, and it shouldn't be more than 3 godol. Right? From the top of the nail to the knuckle, that's the minimum shear. It shouldn't be closer to the edge of the beged, because then that would be called tachas akonav, not ala konav. And it shouldn't be higher than 3 godol, because then that would be ala beged and not ala konav.
Does that apply to like when you scrunch it up, like you tear it to totally?
Yeah, that would be a problem. If you scrunch it up, even though we talked about it before, the Mishnah Berurah says that in terms of shiurim, it doesn't really matter if you scrunch it up. But that's the problem is, if you scrunch up the beged when you put on the beged, so you could be poshet the beged. You could undo the scrunching. But if you make the tzitzis this way, so then it's omed lakach to remain that way. So that would be a problem. Right, so you probably should scrunch it up a little bit, as you say, because that would accomplish something else. We mentioned a couple of weeks ago that really the best way to have the tzitzis is that it should be coming from the side. These tzitzios are actually good. Because it should hang down, it should be no defala konof, as opposed to this way. So sometimes it's not made tight enough, so even if you put it on the side, it's going to fall down within a couple of minutes. But the best thing is to put it up, and it should be on the side. So if you scrunch it up a little bit, it makes it tighter, and it keeps it on the side. Unless the hole is that close to the edge of the beged, even if you scrunch it up a little bit, it's still going to be within the shear. It's still going to be fine. Okay? So the halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch says, what happens if the hole rips? Let's say the hole rips, and now it's no longer the proper shear. It's too close to the edge of the beged. What's the deal? So Shulchan Aruch says it's kosher. Why? Because the Gemara Menachah says b'shas asiyah itma. This halacha that it has to be b'dafka ala kanaf and not tachas hakanaf and not ala beged. That's only b'shas asiyah. The Aruch HaShulchan says the same should hold true for the case of gadum. Gadum should be exactly the same. B'shas asiyah itma. The shear for tzitzit should be b'shas asiyah. So as long as b'shas asiyah you have the right shear, that even if you have something less, maybe that's another shear d'oraisa. Halacha l'moshe b'sinai. What's the shear for tzitzit? Two shiurim we're given, maybe. There's a shiur l'chila, there's a shiur of gardumin. So the fact that the shiur of gardumin tells me that the tzitzit is still kosher, you have a little bit left, that doesn't mean that the other shiur is a shiur d'rabbanan. It could be a shiur d'araisa, but b'shas asiya itmar. There's a shiur for the asiya, and there's a shiur for the gardumin as well. Okay, so there are two ways of looking at it. It could be that gardumin is a special halach in tzitzit because the shiur of yibbe galon is only chumid rabban to begin with. In a cover, it's kosher even if you have the clay aniva. So if you have the clay aniva left, so it's fine. Or you could say, no, there's a special shear the rice of Yudbeis Godolim, lechatchila b'shas asiyah. Or I should say, b'di'evet b'shas asiyah. If you don't have that shear, it will be puzzle. But b'di'evet, if a little bit is left, if you have the clay aniva left, that's fine because that's the shear the rice of Gardur. Yes?
This doesn't seem to fit the lechatchila b'di'evet category that neatly, but. It seems very close. The Torah has two different standards for how a mitzvah is performed. And I know that the Rishonim would say that.
Normally we don't have two different standards. That's what's so strange. That's why most Achronim assume that it's because the Shir Yibbeth Godolim is only a Chumash Rabbanah to begin with, so that's why we can have Gadum. It's a big chiddush to say that there are two Shir Yibbeth. The Chazanish for some reason also seems to say that Gadum is a Din Daraisa. He holds that the Shir Yibbeth Godolim is a Shir Daraisa, and Gadum is just another shear. He doesn't explain it through, but he seems to be going with the same approach.
And the Rishonim would say that there's no such thing as a lechatchila deraita. So
no, but that's a lechatchila by a matir. I think we quoted on many occasions. Those at the end of Nida said that there can't be any lechatchila b'di'evet in terms of tvila in a mikvah. You can't say lechatchila this is a chatzitza, but b'di'evet it's not a chatzitza. How can that be? You either went to the mikvah, you didn't go to the mikvah. You're tahar or not tahar. Well, I'm tahar lechatchila. I'm not Torah b'di'evet, but I'm not Torah l'chatchila. No such thing. But in terms of mitzvahs, we do find l'chatchila in b'di'evet.
We saw Rishonim
that
apply that even to mitzvahs.
To mitzvahs as well. We have Rishon, the Ritvan Brachas. Okay, enough of it. When we measure b'chadei aniva in the mitzvahs, where are we measuring b'chadei aniva from? B'chadei aniva of the gedil, or b'chadei aniva of the psil? That's Machlokes Rishon. Machlokes Rashi in the Reed. Very important machlokas that the Shulchan Aruch quotes. There are two machlokas Rishonim that the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Yud Beis quotes. Both are very important. Rashi assumes that Kedei Aniva is measured from the Anaf. That's what most people know. Most people think that Kedei Aniva means that if the tzitzis get ripped, but I still have my Beis Godol in here, let's say I have this amount left. So this amount left from the Gedil is clearly not Yud Beis Godol, because I don't have the original Shia, but I have the Chedei Aniva of the Psil, of the Anach. But Rashi would say that's fine. But let's say it got ripped up to this point. So Rashi would definitely say it's possible, because I only have a little bit of the Anach left over. I don't have the Chedei Aniva of the Anach. That's Rashi Shita. The Re disagrees. The Re claims as long as you have the Chedei Aniva above the Kesher Elyon, above the Zvan Kesher, even if it's only b'chadei aniva of the gedil, that's okay. That's a tremendous kula. Because in most circumstances, when the tzitzios get ripped, they only get ripped from the psil, not from the gedil. I think everyone agrees. Mm-hmm. So if you'd be megil for the re, you'd never have a problem. You'd never have a problem of the...
According to Rashi, if you then decided to untie the bottom two wraps and knots and things like
right,
that.
That would be okay. That would be okay because you don't need all of that gedil. So, but would that be possible among us? Because your asiya, you say when you put the tzitzios on, they were kosher, right? That's what you probably have to do. You have to undo the whole thing and then take it off the beggar and put it back on and then wrap it up again.
But then it's too short.
Sorry?
Then it's too short. When you put it on, it has to be longer. So.
Ooh, good point. So it's the pshas asiya. Oh, that's probably a problem. So I'm not sure that's the best idea. Ah, from the schabrus of the Talmud of the Shia, we see that it's probably not the best idea. Because you wouldn't accomplish it. Yaakov.
You didn't warn the string rips all the way. Why is it a problem? You still have the corresponding string full length.
Oh, we're going to get to it. Okay, good. That's a good point. That is a good point. The Mishnah Berurah does point out that with the evidence that he makes for Rashi, he says, but really, the Shah Sachak got him. He wouldn't even make a bracha on the talis. He wouldn't, if he has to wear it, the kavod, he would wear it, but he would not be make up for Rashi unless he really, really had to. Sorry? I'm sorry, he would not be make up for the ring. Right. If he didn't have Bechdei Aniva of the psil, the Mishnah Berurah says he really wouldn't be make up for the ring. Shasachar Gadol, if you could wear the talis, but he wouldn't even make a bracha on it. That's what he says. Now, let's be careful. Yaakov mentions, why should it matter if one of the strings is ripped? I mean, we were presenting it that all the strings are ripped, but let's say only one of the strings is ripped. Only one of the strings is ripped, so then even according to Rashi, that's fine. Because if only one of the strings is ripped, you still have Bechdei Aniva on that string, because tzitzis, you know, we think of tzitzis as being 8 strings, it really is 4 strings. So as long as only one of the strings is ripped, that's fine. In fact, even if you had 2 strings ripped, if you were careful when you made the tzitzis originally, some people put a bobby pin on one of the tzitzis. It's very hard to tie them like that. But some people make some kind of a simon.
Tie a knot on the bottom of the four strings.
That's very ingenious. I don't know why
I never thought of that.
If you tie a knot at the bottom of the 4 strings, so then you're keeping the 4 and 4 separate. So then it would turn out that if you had 4 strings ripped, even completely on one side, you're still fine, because you still have the 4 other halves of those strings on the other side. So you will not have any one string that has less than Kedei Aniva.
So what does the knot help?
The knot helps because it keeps it separate. When you're making the strings together, you know that there's 4 and 4. See, the way most people make tzitzis, they don't put the knot on. So by the time you're finished, you don't even know whether these 2 were originally with the 2 on the other side. Right? It could all get mixed up. Because basically what you do is you're korech the shamish, and then after you're korech, you just make the 4 and 4 and you tie a knot. You don't care that the 4 strings are remaining separate. But if you tie a knot at the bottom of the 4 strings, then you can maintain that separation between the 4 and 4 throughout. So if that's the case, then you'll solve a tremendous problem. That is that even if your tzitzios get ripped, then l'chatchila, it's still fine. I guess the mitzvah and anucha of having yidbeis godolim, you're not going to have, because you probably should have yidbeis godolim on both sides. But certainly mitzad gardum, and even according to Rashi, b'dieved, it would still be okay, even if it got ripped to the very, very bottom. Because to the very bottom is only half the string. You still have the string from the other side. Okay. But b'netam and Rashi have another machlokes. That's the other important machlokes. This isn't sit base. Till now we've been discussing, let's say you have the tzitzis are ripped, but if you have the Chedei Aniva of the Anaf, everyone would say it's fine. And we would say it's fine, or Rashi would say it's fine as well. As long as you have the Chedei Aniva of all the strings. Now, just one second. Let's say the strings are ripped. Let's say all the strings are ripped. But there's the Chedei Aniva of all the strings. Rabbeinu Tam would say in such a case, he's still up. At first glance, the way we've been presenting it till now, both Rashi and the Ri would agree. If you have the Aniva of all the strings, what's the problem? Rabbeinu Tam says there's another problem. And that is that you need at least 2 full strings, 2 strings with the full shear of your base lodal. Where did Rabbeinu Tam get that from? So the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot Meches there explains, Rabbeinu Tam learns that we know there are 2 parts to the mitzvah tzitzis. There's Cheles and there's Lava. Rabbeinu Tam assumes that you need 1 full mitzvah. Meaning 2 strings have to be completely full. So if you have enough strings ripped and you don't have the shear of Yud Beis Godolin, you don't have Yud Beis Godolin in 3 strings, so it turns out that you don't have a full set of 2. You don't have either 2 lavan or 2 treles. Rabbi Natan holds that that's going to be possible anyway. So aside from the Kedei Aniva issue, if you would have 3 strings, meaning, let's say you did separate the 4 and the 4. Let's say you put a knot at the bottom of the 4. And then you had 3 strings ripped on one side. So mitzad the din of Kedei Aniva, there's no problem. Rabbi Tam would nevertheless say there still is a problem, because if you don't have the Yud Beis Godolim on more than, well, if you don't have Yud Beis Godolim at least on 2 full strings, so that's going to be possible anyway, because then you don't have a min echot shomer. Mishnah Berurah says this is a chumra that we should be machmer for, but here he's willing to move the Eved to make a bracha on a talis that follows Rashi. Rabbi Natan is definitely a shita that you should be machmer for the shita that Yishonar says, which means that if you have three strings that are ripped, even if they are b'chdei anita, Rabbi Natan would still say it's a problem, because you don't have a min echad shalim. Rashi would say it's okay, as long as it's b'chdei anita, there's no problem, Rashi would say. So the chatchila, we definitely should be machmer not to have three strings that are ripped. We should have at least two full strings. So once you have the third string, unless you make sure that you separated the four and the four, if you have three strings that are ripped, you don't know, could taka be three strings. So l'chachili, you should certainly be machmir to have at least two full strings with the shir of Yibbe Kodol. The b'dieved, if three strings are ripped, as long as they're b'chdei aniva, Mishnah Berurah is willing to be makel, that you can follow Rashi. And here he says you could even make a bracha. He says, in fact, I wouldn't run to get another talus. If it's easy to get another talus, you should do that. But if it's not easy to get another talus, he says Rashi is what to be son of Han. But very interesting, these two machlokasim, they both appear from Siv Aleph to Siv Gimel, and yet they're very different. Mishnah Berurah is willing to be makel in one case, basically in most circumstances. He would say that if you have b'chdei aniva, if you have the shear of b'chdei aniva, the shear of garduman, that's okay, even if you have three strings that are ripped, and you don't even have a min echad shalom, you don't have two full strings. But the Natan is certainly a sheep that we should be making for the Chachila, but the Evid, if it's hard to get another talus, you can be making for Rashi there. But the other issue, the other sheep, to be making for the Re, that he's not willing to be making to make a bracha on the talus. That he says is much more difficult to be making. For the shear of Kedei Aniva, he holds that really, Me'ikar Adin, you should be making for Rashi, that Kedei Aniva has to be in the psil. But he says in terms of having Yud Beis Godol, and the shear of Yud Beis Godol, at least in two full strings, he says that you could be mekel for Rashi, that that's not so necessary unless it's easy to get another talus. Okay, so that's what basically comes out. What comes out is that if you have a talus and one of the strings gets ripped, so if it's b'chdei aniva, or excuse me, until you have two strings ripped, there's no problem b'chlal b'di'evet. Right? L'chachili, you should have a shear of Yud Beis Godol, but b'di'evet, it would be kosher midin garduman. If you have two strings ripped and you were not careful to keep them separate, so then there is a chashash that if there's no kedei aniva, then you don't have a kedei aniva in the string. So then according to Rashi, there's a problem. According to the Ri, there's no problem. So that you should try to avoid. That you should try to avoid. But if you have the kedei aniva in the strings, it's just that you don't have a shear of Yud Beis Godolim in at least three strings. Let's say you weren't careful about keeping the four and the four separate. So if three strings are ripped, even if they're b'chdei aniva, that's the chiddush. Rabbi Natan is saying, even if they are b'chdei aniva, they have the right shear, they just don't have the shear of Yud Beis Godolim. Rabbi Natan would still say it's a problem. You need l'chachila to have two full strings, meaning really four strings with Yud Beis Godolim. B'di'evet, if you don't have Yud Beis Godolim in the four strings, meaning you have three strings that are ripped, and you don't have Yud Beis Godolim, so then we'd be going to be Mabel for Rashi. Yosef.
If you have the Rabbis or Rambam's Tchilas, then would you be able to have, for example,
Rabbi Natan is not working with the Rambam says, right?
Yeah,
Rabbi Natan is assuming two and two.
Rabbi Natan specifically is going to.
So, I don't know how to paskin when it comes to tchelis. I guess some people would paskin like their own. I don't know the. I can't say that the briskers would paskin like their own, because if I'm not mistaken, the briskers would not tchelis. Yeah, thank you.
Rabbeinu Tam is based on the two of the strings are on the lava and two of the strings are in place of the tchelis.
Right, and you need min echad shalom.
It's very strange because he's saying it's not just that we're substituting lava for tchelis, it's that we're treating the lava according to the dinim of tchelis, even though.
Yeah, that's apparently what he says, but that's what's interesting. What's interesting is Rabbi Natan holds that even if you have the kedei aniva, you have the shear of gardumin, he would still say that if you don't have the shear of b'shas asiyah, if you don't have the shear of b'shas asiyah in at least two full strings, still the Vipassa. That's his chiddush. So b'chatchila, it's proper to be machmir for that shita. So you should be careful. If you have three strings that are ripped, and you weren't careful initially to keep the four and the four separate, once you have three strings ripped, then you should not use them. Look, even if you have one string ripped, you should try to fix it. But in the end, if you only have one string, you still have the shear of gardulim. It's not going to Rashi. B'chatchila, everything is fine. I mean, the whole idea of gardulim is a shear of the edit. But the point is, you don't have to run out to buy another pair of tzitzis, buy another talis, because everything is fine. But if you have three, so then the chachili really should go out and try to buy another pair.
Is it going rove? Meaning if you lose one full string. Yeah.
What do you mean?
I mean like both sides. Both sides of that string. So that's still okay? Because the others, do you have three other strings?
That even means...
Only on that string. That.
On that string. So it means one of the sides...
Well, let's say the whole string, I'm saying now, let's say the whole, both sides.
Both sides are ripped.
Is that possible? Now it's possible?
That would be possible going to Rashi, going to the Reed still kasha, because you still have the down even of the bottom part of the gdil.
Okay.
You don't know that's the string, though.
No, assuming
if you
do.
Have two strings, no, but if you have two strings ripped and you weren't careful to keep the four and the four separate,
choshesh.
So then we're choshesh that maybe these two parts are coming from one string.
Even if the four and four are separate, one's on each side.
So if the four and four are separate and one's on each side, then you still would have a problem, obviously. Right. The chiddush is that if you keep the four and four separate, you can be missing, you could have four strings cut from one side, you know it's still no problem because the strings on the other side are coming from the four strings on the first side. But if you have strings on opposite sides, you still have to be choshesh, even if you keep them separate, obviously. Right, obviously.
Regarding
finally,
the four and four separate, you can buy it, someone can give you something on the person who bought it.
If he tells you that it was four and four?
I don't know.
If he tells you, it can be so much. If he tells you, it can be so much. But if he doesn't tell you, then he can be so much.